Now I'm going to introduce our speaker, Dick Eiperen, Van Eiperen. Or is it Von?
Van.
Van.
No, we're not German.
No, okay, I know. That was a German joke there. Spent 25 years as an educator and coach at Ridgewood High School in New Jersey before becoming a private school educator and administrator. He spent 5 years with the African Inland Mission at Rift Valley Academy in Kenya, East Africa, followed by 15 years at Eastern Christian School in Northern New Jersey. He retired and moved to Cumming, Georgia, started an educational consulting business. Dick has 3 adult children and 9 grandchildren. How many more is that than me? That's only 4 more than me, so grandchildren. He published A Complete Guide to Godly Wisdom in 2019 and recently released the second book, So What Wisdom? Living Wisely with Eternity in View. And it's great to have Dick share and come on up here, and we'll look forward to your talk. Dick Van Eiperen.
So, thank you, Heinz. I wrote all that, so he did a good job of repeating it, reading it out. He has given me a very strict outline for what I'm supposed to say and what I'm not supposed to say, so I'm going to stick to that. Generally, my life story, I'll start with where I went to college. I went to Taylor University, a small Christian college in Indiana. And I went there because I wanted to play football. Wasn't much of a student at all in high school. And I had no idea what college was all about, but I knew I wanted to play football, and they were the only people interested in allowing me to play football. So I went there and majored in English because I liked to read and I liked to write. And I graduated in 1970. Followed by a very confused few days from graduation, wondering, now what do I do? I have a BA in English, so what? And I then decided I'll go for a master's and delay making a decision. I decided to enroll in a program called Master's of Arts in Teaching at Fairleigh Dickinson University in New Jersey. And that started immediately in the summer. And what they do in that program is they throw you into a local high school summer school where you begin to learn about teaching. That's about the worst atmosphere you could ever be in, because all the students are there because they failed the subject in the school year. And they come hungover, maybe drugged up a little bit, and you're in classrooms that are really hot, and there's no air conditioning. And you've got to motivate these kids. And what happened is my cohort who had enrolled in this program found out very quickly, they found out whether they really wanted to teach or not. And about half of the people that started this program dropped out that summer because they couldn't handle the students. And by contrast, I discovered my gift. I'm a teacher. It just comes naturally to me. And so I survived that first summer and graduated with a master's degree in teaching English. And I started my high school teaching at Ridgewood High School in Ridgewood, New Jersey, in 1970. I coached football and track and field, and I taught English there. In 1989, I got a sabbatical year off from teaching at Ridgewood High School, and we went, my family and I have 3 children. At that time, the oldest one was going into 9th grade, The second one was in sixth grade, and my son was in third grade. And we moved to Rift Valley Academy in Kenya for a year. And I started teaching there English, and I became the senior year English teacher there. And that year was by far the greatest year of our family life. We stepped out in faith and experienced Africa with all its beauty and the people there, and it was just, I fell in love with it. And at the end of the year, we returned home, where I had to continue to teach at Ridgewood High School, because if you get a sabbatical, you have to teach at least 5 more years there. My wife said she loved the experience, but she said, I never want to go back. Several years later, about 1993, she said, you know, I feel like we should consider going back. And because of that, we applied to become full-time missionaries with African Inland Mission to go return to Rift Valley Academy and to be a teacher there and to head up the English department there. We had to raise our own support, and I retired from public education in 1995 after 25 years of teaching. I was making at the time $85,000 a year with combined with teaching and coaching. And we accepted a position for $27,000 a year. And that I had to raise that amount of money there. I had 2 girls in college. And I had a son who was a 9th grader. So the girls were going to stay behind, and we were going to move all our belongings to Kenya. So we filled a 40-foot container and moved there. And I had 2 college bills. What was I thinking? My colleagues thought, he's crazy to do this. But I did it, and we spent 4 years there. My son, at the end of the 4 years, graduating from the school there, Rift Valley Academy. And if you want to know more about the school, look it up on online, and you'll find some great descriptions of the school. It's a school for missionary children plus Kenyan children, K through 12. So he applied to go to the Air Force Academy, and that's a long story I'm not going to share now, but he eventually was accepted to that, and he was going to the Air Force Academy. No college tuition, which was the biggest blessing there. We moved back to New Jersey for a year off, called home assignment year, and my son went to the Air Force Academy. During that year, my wife announced to me that she's not going back. And that angered me. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, because it's very humbling for me that I had to learn it this way. I was being invited back to Rift Valley Academy to become the high school principal. So I was very ambitious about that, felt really great about it, and my wife was saying no. And we didn't have any job. So we went through a year-long fight. Our kids thought we were going to get divorced. And I finally pulled the trump card by saying, I'm the head of the family. You are going to obey what I say. That wasn't a good tactic. Instead of a checkmate, it was a stalemate. Until I finally got on my knees and asked God, what's going on here? And realized that if we were being called back to Rift Valley Academy, it we means both of us, not just me. And I recognize my ambition, my lack of empathy, and I had to apologize to my wife about that. That wasn't fun. You know, Ben, we don't like to admit we were wrong. And to actually say those words, I was wrong, I had to stutter on them a lot. But it was the greatest decision, because then I had to find another job, and that's where I was hired as an elementary school principal at Eastern Christian School in Northern New Jersey, the oldest and largest Christian school in New Jersey, with a pre-K through 12 program there. And I found out when I started working there that the whole time in Africa was in preparation for me at Eastern Christian, and that this is where God wanted me. And I spent 15 years there, from being elementary school principal to middle school principal to becoming the director of curriculum instruction and the chief education officer of Eastern Christian. But in 2015, well, actually 2014, I began to sense that I needed to retire. I didn't know why. I loved my job, but I just felt like I had to. And so once again, out of faith, I announced my retirement, and we decided to move to Cumming, Georgia, because our two daughters lived here with six grandchildren. And we came here in 2015. Well, that's kind of bringing us up to exactly where I became a grandfather more to my grandchildren, and more involved with the family there. And we discovered that we needed to be here through several issues that arose in my family, where it was clear that we needed to be here. So we felt once again that there was a purpose for our life here. And throughout my years at Eastern Christian, I started meeting with men. It started with one man meeting. I invited him into a Bible study with me, and that grew to a group of about 15 men who are working, or who were meeting every Friday morning at 6:30 in the morning, and all of them were local teachers and coaches, many of them with a Roman Catholic background, and they were interested in studying God's Word, and I found myself leading them. And throughout that experience, they began to name themselves, and they called themselves wise guys. And, you know, that's, you know, coming from New Jersey with the mob, you know, around, it was kind of a joke. But that name stuck. And I graduated those wise guys and began to start new groups. Every year, a new group of men would study with me about wisdom. So when I moved down here, I wanted to continue that, and start meeting with other groups. And in addition to my wife and I hosting and facilitating a couple's small group, I also did men's groups here. And during this time, 2015 to now, those groups that were meeting and the prior groups inspired me to write a book, because we studied Proverbs 1 through 9, where we discovered that Proverbs 1 through 9, if you're familiar with Proverbs, it's a difficult book to read. It seems like all these Proverbs are piling on top of each other, and there seems to be no pattern. But as you look at it in a deeper way, the first 9 chapters of Proverbs is a curriculum, my expertise, on godly wisdom. And Solomon talks about how parents are to raise their children in wisdom, and he gives 17 precepts about how to do that. And that then influenced me to write my first book, which is this book, called A Complete Guide to Godly Wisdom, 17 Wisdom Precepts from the Perfect Father. And when I published it, and it has a study guide with it, I started using this with each next group of wise guys. I also felt like, because this was an Old Testament view of godly wisdom, and by the way, there are two kinds of wisdom, right? There's worldly wisdom, and there's godly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is, we all know about that and try to apply it and try to be wise in the decisions we make. Wisdom by definition. Let me read to you my definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the skill in living, practical knowledge that helps one know how to act and how to speak in different situations, the ability to avoid problems, the skill to handle trouble when it presents itself. And all of us have been in our lives, applied that definition in our decisions in life. But the problem with Solomon's wisdom is, as great it is as advice for living in this world, eventually all worldly wisdom has a expiration date. And that is, it means we die. And so Solomon, in his famous book, Ecclesiastes, bemoans that and talks about everything is meaningless. Because at the end, you die. You might thrive, but you die. But he, in his Proverbs 1-9, was foreshadowing the coming of Jesus Christ, the embodiment of godly wisdom. And so there's another part of the study that I added to our Wise Guys curriculum. Wise Guys cohorts would meet with me for 24 weeks over the course of a year studying godly wisdom. And then they would graduate. The first half was the Proverbs. The second half was the Gospel of John, chapters 1-4, and the book of James. The John Gospel portrays Jesus as the Holy One who embodies godly wisdom. James talks about how we should live in a post-resurrection world, how we should live with godly wisdom. And he's very practical and straightforward. So the second half of the study was on John and James. And out of that, with the help of those men, came this book, which I just published in August, called So What Wisdom? So What Wisdom is the wisdom that lasts for eternity. The subtitle of this book is Living Wisely with Eternity in View. And that's a big difference, you know. When you are experiencing the consequences of a broken world, when you are in the midst of living with all the challenges of it, but you have this sure faith of eternity, you can persevere single-mindedly through anything. And so Solomon's wisdom is a foreshadowing of what it means to live wisely for eternity. So there are two men here today who have just graduated their new wise guys. In November, we started in February, and in November we finished. We had a graduation on Wednesday night. Mark and Mike were in this latest study. I'll be starting a new study in the last Wednesday of January. We will be meeting at the Vine Community Church on Wednesday evenings from 7 o'clock until 8:30 each time we meet. And I'm also starting a high school group in January this year to study the So What Wisdom. Because So What Wisdom is answering the question, so what difference does it make? And, you know, as a teacher, I knew by instinct that all students want to know what they're learning, and especially why they have to learn it. But most importantly, so what? I learned it. How does that change me? How do I grow? My gift in teaching is to focus on the so what. So to create an experience at the end of the what and why that anchors what someone learns is like a coach, right? Coaches know this. They don't just lecture their athletes and then say, go play. They spend little time teaching the rules of the game, the skills of the game, lecturing, and maximum time on the field practicing. And then finally, the so what is the game, right? Where they excel or not, and they learn the skills that they need to learn. And that's the same thing for all of us. So why is this important? Well, I've learned that we all need, no matter what our age. Jimmy, are you the oldest one here? Are you the oldest one here? Jimmy, are you the oldest one here?
Well, I don't know, but I'll be my age.
Yeah.
I'll be 87, 88 in December.
Yeah. So, no matter what our age, if we are going to thrive in life, we have to have a calling or a purpose to serve. So I found out in retirement that retirement that's successful is missional. You have to have this idea of what it means to be on mission in order to live and thrive. If you start in retirement just retiring without any purpose, without a mission, life begins to drag. And there's this tidal pull on you as you age to drop out of life. So you have to determine, what is my purpose? I'm sure you knew that when you were working. So what is your purpose? And then once you decide, this is my mission. And for me, my mission is my grandchildren, my children, my neighborhood, the men who I meet with, and some other programs like the Anvil Academy. I serve on the board of the Anvil Academy. I define my mission daily. And then I have to think, what's my message? Mission, and then message. What's the message I'm trying? And I'm trying to influence people in my sphere of influence to live for eternal values. And to model it and to challenge people. My main value in life is change. Growth and change. You have you also have a main value, whatever it is. And in, within that main value, you'll find your mission and begin to hone your message. But there's one other M word, and that is motive. What is your motive? Because if anything is going to contradict your message or your mission, it is your motive. And if you let your motive take over, that it's about me and my reputation only, then you compromise the mission and message. So that's very... Let me ask you a question that I would encourage you to think about after we're done here, and that is, what is the problem? What do you see as the main problem? That'll show you where you need to focus on your mission and then your message about it. And then the second question is, who is in your sphere of influence? Who has God intended for you to influence? And why would you influence them? So for me, a couple of verses have jumped out as I've been trying to pursue a mission, and that is, this is from Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Wise guys know that every email I send to them, I finish with MTMOEO, making the most of every opportunity. Once you define the problem, then you look at the problem as your opportunity to make the most of it. Not to avoid the problem, but to enter into it by making the most of every opportunity. Problems become opportunities, especially when you're living wisely with eternity in view. So, currently, that's where I am in my life, seeking to be an influencer in those spheres that God has given me in retirement now. So that's my challenge to you. Define the problem. Define the mission out of that problem and the message. You have a sphere of influence. Live purposefully as an influencer to the day you're called home. Thank you.
Any questions? Any questions you'd like to ask Nick? Or?
Good?
Okay.
He sent me both the books, and I told him I'm not going to read them. I'm waiting for the movie.
Yeah.
Probably we've read them.
Oh. I'm a graduate. I'm a wise guy. I'm 81 years old, and I wish I had this information 40 years ago when I was raising my children, because this kind of information is vital if you expect your children and your grandchildren to grow up in this broken world. It is really influential, and it's life-changing. And I'm just ever so grateful to Dick that he brought this to our church. And I think that all of us, 12 men who attended this class, would tell you the same thing. It's an opportunity. I'm trying to influence. I have 8 grandchildren and I have 2 great-grandchildren. And I have missed opportunities that I'm trying to catch up on. So I highly recommend this course and Dick as a teacher. I really do.
Awesome. So I have copies of this book if you want to purchase it, $15, and I'll sign it for you if you want me to. Also, I have only one copy left right now of this book, and that's the first book of the curriculum there. And I encourage you to consider being in the next cohort of Wise Guys. So thank you for the opportunity.
Great, great. Thank you, Dave. Yeah. Great job. A couple quick things. I heard an interesting phrase the other day, the difference between getting old and growing old. And getting old is you just sort of sit and watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune all the time. I don't know. But growing old is you continue this quest of knowledge and wisdom and just something that you really have passion for. I believe, and I believe that my passion is my work. We make hardware for the satellite business, and I love that work. I love the interface with the customers and the people in our company. And so I tell people I'm going to work till Jesus comes or I go. So, but not everybody has that kind of passion for the workplace. And I think that I believe that the way we honor God most is if we line up with the things we have passion for, which I believe is a key to showing how God wired us. And that's my own opinion. The other thing I believe, and I haven't been there yet, so I can't tell this with certainty, but I believe that something that we are wired for here will continue in heaven. You know, I believe my mom and dad have a garden and goats because they had a passion for that. And so, the first part is, you know, having that certainty of where you're going. And that's, again, the information in the Bible, John, and some of those things that tell you how to be certain about that. But then to continue the journey that we're on and that I believe will continue in eternity, and that we really enjoy and motivates us and gives us pleasure. And it's different for different people, you know. And you can't say that you need to be working in the electronics industry and making products or, you know, whatever it is. It can be very small in the world's eyes, or it can be something that people might consider to be, you know, big deal or whatever. But it's whatever gives you passion. What would you pay? I heard this one time. What would you do that you would pay somebody to do? Let me pay you so I can do this thing, you know. And anyway, so a couple things that I've been wrestling with over the years, or not wrestling with, but one of the things I've found too, that my life has a foundation of peace and joy based on my faith in Christ. And that's different than a religion, but I'm not going to preach here. Will you pass the plate, Dave? Okay. <no. laughs> Yeah, I had a friend that said every time he heard church organ music, he put his hand on his wallet. I'm sorry, that's not a good joke. Okay, thank you for coming, and if you'd like to have a little more food or some coffee on the way, and please come next time. Thank you for being here today. Thank you again for your talk. Great.